But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Houston, can we get some loud noise?
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, oh, Dirty and the Blonde Tip Bomber, as well as T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is we are live here on a Football Friday. Buffalo Wild Wings, Katy location. Make your way on out here. And we're going to be here till 6 o'clock. But that don't mean you got to leave at 6. As I'm looking around at the TVs, they got the pregame getting going here as the Texas Longhorns will take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. You can watch that game here as there are, I mean, TVs everywhere. You can't miss them. They're all over the place. Great place to watch the game. Enjoy some wings, some food, good drinks, a good spot here on a Friday night to check out the Horns and the Buckeyes. You can do that right here and stay well past 6 o'clock, the time frame we will be here. You could do that. Also, 5 o'clock fire, just remember, is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. So you could do your thing there. But remember also, in this hour coming up, you have a chance to win a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as an autographed football, a game-sized football signed by Nico Collins. All you got to do is put your name in the raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, want to start here, Clint. Shout out to Derek Stingley Jr., who made his first All-Pro, AP All-Pro. He is a corner alongside with Patrick Surtain. There's only two of them that make it on the All-Pro team, and he has done that in his third season. And it's a great, great timing because now he's eligible to get a new contract, or at least an extension right now after his third year. And this is a big time to do it. And he will get an extension, I believe. Just be understanding, Texans fans. He's going to shoot and probably be successful in being the highest paid corner in all of college NFL, excuse me. He is going to probably jump Patrick Surtain, who is just underneath Jalen Ramsey in Miami. He is going to jump both of those guys and be the highest paid corner in all of football. I, for one, Clint, am completely understanding and okay of that because I think outside of an elite quarterback, an elite corner is the most difficult thing to find in football because we just don't see shutdown corners. We see even some of the top guys get had consistently. He is a guy that takes the football away and is one of the best corners in the league. At least he has shown that the last year and a half. So for me, they're going to break the bank. He's going to get big money. And this is not one, Clint, for me that you wait. I think you go get it right now, now that you're eligible to do it. Because if you wait, obviously now you're running into CJ and Will, and it's going to cost you more. So I would go ahead and knock it out and understand this is just one you're going to have to take.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a no-brainer. And when you know it's a no-brainer, you might as well get it done. Because like you said, if you wait till Sauce gets paid and that's 25 a year or whatever it may be,
yeah,
then it's just going to keep the price tag's going to keep going up. I don't have a problem waiting. I think I like the risk on a lot of players, particularly a ton of quarterbacks that ain't winning the playoffs. I like the wait. I'm okay with the risk. If it may cost me a little bit more money, cool. This is not one of them. Derek Stingley Jr., the only blemish whatsoever for him is can he stay healthy? I think he's proven that damn sure this year. And so, look, you're talking about a guy that at any point in time, You can throw the film on and watch him shadow some of the best wide receivers in football. Did it this year against Tyreek Hill and picked the quarterback picked two or twice. He kept Amari Cooper completely out of the box score in a playoff game last year, and everything in between has been absolutely beautiful. Like you and I have talked about multiple times, I think there's times when Derek Stingley gets bored in games and allows some easy stuff underneath him. There's even been a time against the New England Patriots when he got beat deep, kind of bored and moving along. And, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes clutch time and you need a lockdown corner and you need to take somebody out of a game, Derek Stingley's proven time and time again he can do that. This is great ball skills, a very cerebral player, physically obviously gifted as can be. This is a guy that checks every single box. You lock him up long term as quick as you possibly can, and I'm good with whatever that number looks like.
Texans, they only had one All-Pro on first or second team in the league. You surprised by that? You surprised that maybe Danielle Hunter, Nico Collins? You surprised that those guys didn't crack first or second team All-Pro?
No, I'm not too surprised there. I didn't look and see who are the second team guys. I haven't seen the second team guys, so I don't know who made it ahead of them. But boy, there's some when you throw the entire NFL in the pot, boy, there are some really good rush ends out there.
Who would be the ones you would have thought would give an argument? Will and Danielle and Nico maybe.
Will, Danielle, and Nico.
Those would be the
three. Oh, yeah. Those would be the three that could potentially get on it for the second team. I haven't seen the second team. I don't know who's
on it. So when it comes to receivers, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and St. Brown made it on the first team.
Yep.
And then the second team receivers were were Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, and A.J. Brown. So I think Nico could have.
Yeah, I think if Nico stays healthy, his numbers are huge.
I'll be honest with you. I think Nico could. I don't care that Nico missed 5.5 games. I'd have put him over CeeDee Lamb.
Ooh, no, not me.
I thought Nico was that good that he played. And CeeDee missed some games. I thought Nico was that good during the season. And then the edge rushers, T.J. Watt, Nick Bonito, boy, that was tough yesterday. Andrew Van Ginkle from Minnesota. Those are the edge rushers on the second team, and then the first team obviously were guys that you're flat not gonna take off of when you look at Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson.
Look, I think Danielle could have been on that. I thought Danielle could have been on that second team, but you know he obviously left a little bit of a doubt somewhere along the way.
Yeah, 12 sacks this year from Danielle Hunter. Will, double-figure sacks as well. He missed some games, too, that may have slowed that down. Also, real quick, from the injury front on the Texans, Tegan Quatoriano, he was listed as questionable yesterday. Mm-hmm. They have not designated him to return off injured reserve, and they're ruling him out for the game on Saturday. So he is the lone one. Him, Shaq Mason, are both out of this game. Not a huge deal. Not like he has played a ton. But, I mean, I guess you're down to Cade Stover, Irv Smith as your guys that you feel comfortable in the run game, at least from the tight end perspective.
Yeah, look, I think Tegan gives you a bigger option, inline tight end, hand in the dirt to do some things in the run game if you got into a situation where you were trying to use the clock, chew the clock. But I don't think it's anything that Cade Stover and Irv Smith can't do or in that particular situation. So, yeah, I think the tight end position, they're fine as it pertains to the Tegan Quatoriano caliber guys.
Yeah. All right. There it is. That's the latest on the Texans front, getting ready for this game. And, again, congratulations to Derek Stingley Jr. Got healthy and balled out and was rewarded.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, the Rockets had a big, big road win yesterday. They went on the road. Them and Memphis, they have been sitting there at the 2 and 3 spot, flipping it back and forth, and they win 119-115, and they were carried by the two guys that they re-signed in the offseason or gave extensions to in the offseason, and the guys that we look at to hope they could be some sort of a tandem. And that is Şengün, who goes for 32, 14, and 5 last night. The best player on the field. He outplayed Triple J out there, and then Jalen Green. He goes for 27, 2, and 3. And John Morant did play last night. He returned after being injured, missing five games. He returned and played pretty much at the level of John Morant. That's a big road win against Memphis. Memphis is with Ja coming back, they've been playing much better basketball this year. As I said, those two teams have been kind of going back and forth in the 2 and 3 spot. It was good to see them go out there on the road and beat a team like that and to get it from those two guys stepping up. Fred had a nice game. He was over 20 in that game. So I thought that was a really, really big win for the Houston Rockets yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch. I did peek at it back and forth yesterday once I saw Şengün was having a big night. I spent most of the time watching that college football playoff game, but down the stretch I flipped over and watched. Like you said, Fred VanVleet, having that guy down the stretch, man, he's the guy that you – I'll be honest with you, we talked a lot about Jalen Green yesterday. Like I hope and I wish and I wonder if this is even on the forefront with, you know, M.A. Udoka and company. Like, that's the piece to me that Jalen Green's missing. That guy that can take over and control the game and control the tempo and slow everybody down. Wait, boom. Slow everybody down. Chill out. Right? If you want to get one-on-one with somebody.
He's always in control.
Fred VanVleet is always a true point guard. Always in control. Like, that is a huge weapon on this football team. I mean, it's on this basketball team with all these youngsters, man.
Yeah, and I was really impressed from Alfred Şengün because Jaren Jackson, man, this is a former Defensive Player of the Year award winner. A couple of years ago, he won Defensive Player of the Year, and Şengün goes in and gets 32-14-5 in that matchup against him. So, big performance last night for the Rockets. See if they can continue this thing as they sit alone in the 2 spot in the West.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we're looking around here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Katy, make your way on out here. All we see on the screens is the countdown, about an hour and a half away from Texas and Ohio State at the Cotton Bowl. The weather is rough, but Jerry got a roof on that puppy, so everything should be good in terms of this game, and the atmosphere should be good. I did this yesterday with Notre Dame and Penn State, Clint, and let's start here with Texas. Texas, Ohio State. Texas wins if what happens?
You got to have Quinn Ewers the best game of his career.
Of his life. That's what I said.
I mean, he's got to be lights out. I mean, it can't, it's not like completing 85% of your balls is not going to be enough. There's going to be, I don't care what your completion percentage is, there's going to be opportunities. And mark my word, there's going to be opportunities early within the first couple of drives for big plays that'll flip the field or put points on the board. And Quinn has shown the tendency to miss some of those, and I think a lot of folks overlook it because he'll go out there and complete again 15 of 18 balls, but two of those misses were would have been game changing type plays. Like I think he's just got to make those throws, Ron. I don't care what, like I said, I don't care what his percentage is, his completion percentage is. He's got to go out and make the big throws early to give them a chance. I don't think you can Texas like the way I would describe Texas. The frustration with Texas is, there's a lot of times in these games that I've watched, really since they beat Arkansas mid-year, late mid-year, like they appear to almost sleepwalk through a quarter, quarter and a half, or a half of football every now and then. There's a lack of sense of urgency. There's almost just pissing away drives, and it's just, I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure they're not obvious. They don't feel that way, but as I watch it, I feel that way. There's too many missed opportunities, whether it's just drives here and there or it's scoring opportunities with Quinn Ewers missing throwing the ball out of bounds or missing go routes. I mean, he is a top-tier quarterback in college football. He's got to make top-tier big boy throws. And if you don't make them in a game like tonight, I think it's going to be too much for Texas to overcome.
Yeah. For me, obviously, he's a big key in this game, and I just want to see Texas and their skill guys and their top recruits and the guys they have there. I want to see them look like that. Sometimes Texas doesn't look like that. Sometimes when you see Texas in games, it feels like they should overpower teams with their athleticism and all that, and it just doesn't quite look like that at times. And to me, a lot of minimizing the mistakes, because I think their margin for error is really, really low. Like, and I hate to bring this up, I really do, Tyler, but the amount of mistakes that they made against A&M, where, you know, they got down there and turned the ball over down in the red zone and made mistakes. They can't do that. They get blown out of this thing. They'll get run right out of the building if they do that. They have got to minimize those mistakes, and like they did against Arizona State, allowing them to get back into the game with their own mistakes. Can't do that in this game. All right, Clint, Ohio State, they have been the favorite. Everybody, they have looked as good, or they have looked better than anybody in these playoff rounds against Tennessee and against Oregon. Ohio State wins if what happens tonight?
I think if defensively they can get to Quinn, yeah. I think that if Quinn can sit back there and pick them apart, I think they're good enough. Sark is good enough. Quinn's good enough. They got weapons enough on offense that they can make this a hell of a football game. They can score a lot of points, and I think that's the only chance they're going to have to win it is obviously score more points in Ohio State, but to really put pressure on Will Howard and Ohio State's offense, don't let them sit over on that side of the ball and be comfortable. I think Texas. I just saw it come across the screen. I think Texas is 100% up front with their offensive line, which they hadn't been all of the college football playoffs. Yep. They've been missing their best offensive lineman.
Banks is back. Williams is back.
There you go. So you get those guys back, and they should be able to keep Ewers clean. If they do, and he can sit back there and cook, then I think Ohio State could have their hands full. But if not, it could be a slow, easy evening for Ohio State.
Yeah,
so
I
think you got to protect Ewers.
I don't know who that was out there playing against Michigan, but Texas has got to try to find that team.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's got to avoid that. And a big key is their offensive line has had some struggles up and down this year. And can Texas D-line cause problems like Michigan's D-line did? Nebraska's D-line gave Ohio State problems. Oregon the first time gave them some problems. Can their D-line up front, getting their front seven, give them some problems? All right, as we continue here, coming up, if you're on your way, hey, you still got a chance to enter our raffle and win an autographed football by Nico Collins and a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's going to be happening later on in this hour. But next, the gotta haves. If the Texans are going to win this game, and yes, we're going to give our predictions here in a little bit, but if they're going to win this game, this is what they got to have. No questions asked. We'll discuss that next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings on Park Row in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Welcome back in as we are live right here on The Drive. Here, Katy. Katy location here, Buffalo Wild Wings Park Row location here in Katy. Come hang out with us, as there's no better place in the city to come watch Texas Ohio State. This will be a great spot. TVs everywhere, drinks everywhere, food from wings to burgers to whatever you need. This is a great spot. Great spot for you to come and check out tonight's game. And, hey, you got a little time. You come hang out with us a little bit. So why not make your way on out here, as we'll be here until 6 o'clock. All right, Clint, in this game, we are in the next segment. We will be giving our predictions. As I said, I predict on Tyler's prediction that Tyler will have them by double digits. I don't know if he's in the 10 range or if he's in the 20 range, but I believe Tyler will be in double digits. And you'll hear our predictions coming up a little bit later on in the show. But for the Texans to win, all right, for the Texans to win, Clint, you believe, and I agree with you, there are some must-haves, some things that they have to have happen in this game, some things that need to look different than they have had happen in some of the games they played in the last couple of weeks. What are these must-haves you think the Texans need to show?
Gotta-haves. Bobby Sloak, don't call one damn run play where Dalton Schultz is lead blocking at the point of attack. I don't care if it's inside or outside. Please, please, please.
Like not one?
I can't. I can't watch it, man. I mean, look, I really, really, really need you to focus on the critical situations. But when I say critical situations, I'm talking any third and run down situation, any fourth and run down situation. any critical moment where it's an important drive, any red zone. I mean, Dalton Schultz, the point of attack, we've seen enough of it. It is a fireable offense if Bobby Slowick continues to do that. It's been that bad. Deontay Johnson has to be full go. Again, I don't need a monster game. I need him to be a counterpunch to Nico Collins. C.J. Stroud needs to have somebody to go to beyond Nico Collins when we're in obvious passing situations. Right now, it's rough when you got to depend on Dalton Schultz to create separation, when you got to depend on John Metchie or Xavier Hutchinson to beat starting caliber corners in this league. And so Deontay Johnson is a guy that on an individual route can create separation and can get open and can be an answer on a third down for Nico at the very – I mean, for CJ at the very least, if not more, by the way. Deontay Johnson, I think he's got a chance to really help us. Laremy Tunsil, the pre-snap penalties cannot happen. Just flat out cannot happen. They're drive killers. You're too good a player. You're too important. You make too much damn money.
Can I slide in on that?
Yes, what do you got?
Real
Absolutely.
Quick. We probably haven't talked about it enough, and I'll be honest with you, my thoughts have been with Blake Fisher more than anything, as we talked about yesterday. Like, Laremy Tunsil's got to be Laremy Tunsil. Like, he's got to be the guy and the reason why you made him twice the highest paid offensive lineman at the time in the NFL. Right, there should not be any worry about pressure coming from his side. There should not be any, like, and I mean, now, barring a stunt that somebody screws up, but there should not be any. He needs to be somebody that the Texans and Bobby Slowick can depend on and not worry about. And, yes, I mean, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, those guys are great pass rushers, but he is a great pass protector.
Yeah.
I'm not saying total offensive lineman, but he is a great pass protector. They need Laremy Tunsil to be Laremy Tunsil.
Absolutely. He's got to be a reason.
I've talked about that a lot.
He's got to be a reason why you win the game, not a reason why you lose the game. He's got to be a reason why you're put in a better situation. Like Laremy Tunsil, the conversation has to be, we were able to get 4 and 5 receivers out into routes because Laremy Tunsil can play on an island as well as anybody out there. Like, that needs to be the conversation, not, well, damn, man, Laremy Tunsil was great for a good chunk of the game. He graded out well, but, boy, a couple of the negatives really put us in 1st and 15. A couple of the negatives took us from 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 7, and we ended up punting. Like, that can't be the conversation about Laremy Tunsil in this particular game, and hopefully that'll be the case. 0 Stroud interceptions and misses, and when I say 0, I mean like the unacceptable, uncharacteristic type interceptions and misses that we've seen from C.J. Stroud. And 2 drives against Baltimore, I think it was Baltimore, there was 2 or 3, actually there's 4 just flat out random misses of wide receivers that were open, right? You can't have those. I understand he's not seeing things clear, and I understand that he's going to make some poor decisions here or there with where he's going with the football. They can't be flat out misses and flat out interceptions. So Stroud's got to be better than that. Now, if you flip over to the defensive side of the football, I got one more kind of simple, stupid, doesn't take a whole hell of a lot of talent. Jeff Okuda is healthy. He's playing this week. The importance of that is the fact that Derek Stingley Jr. Can play any position now without putting the defense in harm's way, because Jeff Okuda is good enough to be your third cover guy. And you can move Kamari Lassiter around inside to the nickel defender position if you need to with Ladd McConkey, the slot receiver. So Jeff Okuda needs to keep everything in front of him. Don't get beat deep. Don't be the reason that an explosive gets hit on this defense. Jeff Okuda has to keep everything in front of him and tackle well. That's it. That's it. Now,
you think he's going to get a lot of time?
I do. I think. Well, you got to find a lot of time. I think there's a chance he could end up playing 30-40% of the snaps.
That's more than I would think.
I don't know what their personnel looks like beyond, you know, with some of the injuries. So I don't know exactly what's going to end up being their personnel of
choice.
They've
been loving to run that Miles Bryant kid out there in the slot.
Yeah. I think if you've got the option to have Jeff Okuda outside and put Kamari Lassiter inside, I think that's better than Miles inside. I think they're confident in Miles, but I think their best nickel package is Kamari Lassiter inside, Jeff Okuda outside, especially against a team like this who doesn't have a dominant outside receiver that just scares the hell out of you in terms of being a go-to guy. What they do have is, if you look at Quentin Johnston, he is a guy that can take the top off the defense. He is a guy that can get behind a corner and outrun you. We've seen that happen to Jeff Okuda against the Cowboys when Turpin caught it underneath and outran him embarrassingly to the end zone. Like, Jeff Okuda's got to stay back and keep Johnston in front of him when that does happen. Keep everything in front of him. The last two are going to be a little bit more difficult to accomplish because they're going to take big-time games. Will and Daniil on the defense at the defensive end position for the Texans. I know they're playing two really good tackles. Ron, I think this number may be what Will and Daniil.
Will and Daniil.
This may be a little bit low, but I need at least three sacks combined out of them.
Yeah,
we need three out of them boys.
I'm with you on that, and at least Clint clearly seeing that they are affecting it. Even if they don't get the, how many did you say, three sacks? If they don't get that, then at least we see multiple times they are bearing down on him, or they forced him to just try to get rid of the ball.
Absolutely.
Or they are hitting him, and they're on his ass. They've got to impact it.
They got to get him on the ground too, Ron, because a big part of this is getting him on the ground. There's a chance he can flip the field, if not hit his head on the goalpost when he's running. He's a long strider, doesn't look like he's moving that well, but he's a real threat with his feet. So I think they got to get him on the ground, three-plus sacks between the two defensive ends. The last but not least, I think Derek Stingley's got to have an interception. The bigs on defense, when I say bigs, I mean big names. The bigs on this defense, Will, yep. Daniil, and Derek Stingley Jr., have to make impact plays. I'm talking sacks and interceptions, sacks and turnovers in order for the Texans to win in the playoffs. I think that's going to be the case this week. I think it's going to be the case as long as they're alive. In the playoffs, I mean, not literally they're alive.
You thought we meant death?
Just wanted to clarify that.
Just wanted to clarify. I hope the hell you didn't mean death. No, man. I think a lot of what you said rolls through their main guys, their main stars. Like, and sometimes in big games like this, it's about your stars. And I honestly believe the Texans have more of them. I think they have more dudes overall than the Chargers do, and they got to come to play. They got to look a lot more like that they did against Miami than they did against Baltimore. So that's what they got to look. I love the must-haves. Those are the must-haves. Those are the things we should be looking at and looking for coming up for this game tomorrow as the Texans look to win a playoff game like they did at home last year. All right, coming up, moment of truth, fellas. I can't believe I just said that. It's literally written on the sheet. That's exactly what I said. Moment of truth, fellas. Maybe that's why I said it. We'll give our predictions. The drive will give our predictions. It's a tradition that has now lasted now 1 year from last year. We gave our predictions at the end of the show last year, last Friday, and we will do that again. So stay tuned for that. You can also give your predictions as well. But before that, Clint said this about the national championship game. Clint said, UT, Ohio State, this is the national championship game. These are the two best teams in college football. Do you agree with that? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings on Park Row in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Katy location here, Park Row location. Come on out and have a good time. This is a good spot to watch the game tonight, so make your way out here. And congratulations to all of our winners who took home prizes today. Shout out to our Bud Light girls and Bud Light. There you go. They're always out and do a great job supporting us here at Buffalo Wild Wings on not only on today but always on Thursday. Shout out to all the great staff and the people here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Special shout out to Kendall for taking care of us throughout here throughout the day. Our promo staff, Osita, and you know, Tia's graduated to getting her name said. We appreciate. I can't. I mean, you got to get a couple of shows in to get it in. You've earned the amount of shows to get your name shouted out. But appreciate our promo staff as they do great work to get us here and keep us on the air when we're out and about. Shout out to Matt, our engineer, who has done the work to keep us on the air. Also on YouTube and Twitch, Champ Slice and the Inspired by Me, Ronald, and all the guys. Tiffany, shout out to Tiffany Robertson, putting your full name out there. for you to be able to see us and communicate on YouTube and Twitch. So we appreciate Matt as well and Tyler holding it down big time at the station and keeping us going and afloat on the air as well. All right, we will give our predictions coming up in just a bit. But Clint, you can give your prediction about this game tonight too. Texas, I think Ohio State gets them by a couple of touchdowns. But you said that you think these are the actual two best teams in the country. I just can't put Texas in that.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously need to. They got to play a little bit better. But I think you just talking about the teams. I mean, this both of these teams tonight have weapons. Weapons galore. We're speaking relative to Notre Dame and Penn State. Both of these teams have good defenses, really good defenses, if we're being honest. And both of these teams have quarterbacks that are capable of going out there and win games through the air and threatening defenses for four quarters. And so we'll see if Will Howard and Quinn Ewers can actually do it tonight against the better defenses that they're both going to face. But yeah, I don't have a problem. I think these are the two best teams in college football, the two most complete teams in college football. And I think ultimately whoever wins tonight ends up winning the championship. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think they wiped the floor with Notre Dame.
Whoever wins this one?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I give Notre Dame a real chance against Texas. We look at it. Texas, what do they got? Two losses? No, they got two. And they've been both to Georgia, right? They lost to Georgia twice. One, they got at home and just ran out of their own building in the first half, made a little bit of game, and then their backup quarterback beat them. And that Georgia team that Notre Dame just kind of manhandled a bit in that game, and they beat them pretty well. So I'd give Notre Dame a really good shot against Texas. No, I don't know. I just want to see, and I think there is something there that Texas, we have not seen Texas put it all together. I don't think, right? I think we went through it a few weeks ago. Maybe their best performance was against Florida, and that was even before Florida started to find itself with their young quarterback. We just haven't seen them really put it all together where the offense and the skills are playing, and you could just see what their talent looks like. I agree. Them two teams getting off the bus, they might be that might be the best to look getting off the bus that's left.
Well, I think for me, Ron, because I think you're spot on, but my thought is if Texas beats Ohio State, you're dead wrong. You know what I mean? Everything we just said about Texas, because I agree. Like, I sit here and look at Texas. I mean, they've left a lot to be desired when you're watching them play football, especially at a championship level, but they found a way to get there. If they get to the championship game, it's why I say whoever wins tonight's game, I think, ends up winning it all, is if they get there, they will have to go through Ohio State, who's not going to lay down. They got big-time weapons. They got a quarterback that's playing well. They are a big-boy program. Defensively, they're great. Like, Texas is going to have to show us tonight that they're capable of moving the football consistently and scoring points against a really good defense. And if they can do that tonight to the tune of winning this ball game, I think they'll be able to move it against Notre Dame. And Notre Dame doesn't have anywhere near the offense that Ohio State's bringing to the table. So, I say that championship talk understanding that Texas is going to have to show us a new level Texas if they're going to win tonight.
Before we get to our predictions coming up here in a bit, I will say one thing that could work out for Texas and Sark in particular is we've watched Ryan Day get out coached in these big games.
Yep.
We've watched that happen. Not just Jim Harbaugh, Hill, Sharon Wright got him this year with Michigan. We've watched that happen, him get out coached over the years in big games, and that might have to be the equalizer to how Ohio State is playing, is Sark stepping up and doing some things to help his team and give his team an advantage from the coaching perspective. That is something to keep in mind, where in college, coaching can affect the game a lot more than maybe in the pros. So, I think Ohio State gets it tonight, but the big one is Saturday. And before we get to our predictions, remember, coming up behind us, Dalton Schultz, he will join. He's ready. All right? He's built for this. Dalton Schultz will join the show.
Come on.
After this, right after this. Who knew Dalton was going to be here? Built for this, Dalton. Who was going to be here? Also, head coach D'Amico Ryans. He is going to be live as well. That starts at 6. And I see our guy, Patrick Creighton. He's been out here throughout the show. He and his partner, Sean Bajani and Chris Santiago, will have Area 45, 10 until midnight, right after they get done there. So stay tuned right there live on Sports Radio 610 for that. All right, fellas. Clint, I'll kick it off. You know that I believe in our predictions. You know I believe that the Texans will win. I guaranteed it on Tuesday. I have the Texans winning, and I have them winning behind their defense. I think this is another situation where D'Amico Ryans has some time to develop a big-time game plan defensively, and I think he has weapons, and I don't think the Chargers have enough weapons that can slow him down from doing things that he wants to do. I think the front seven is going to be dominant, and they're going to suffocate this game, and CJ and the offense will do enough with some help, I think, with at least a turnover that helps them to score some points. I think it's low scoring. I got the Texans winning this game behind their defense, very similar to the Bills game, very similar to the Dolphins game, actually more like it. 23-16, got it, 23-16. I'm going with the Texans getting a dub tomorrow and getting ready to get to the divisional round. What you got in this game? What's your prediction in this game?
Well, it's easy for me, man. The Texans are 1-5 against playoff teams this season. That one playoff team they beat was Buffalo, who was half cocked at the time and didn't have Amari Cooper. And so that gives me zero confidence. Then you look at C.J. Stroud's numbers, which were blasted all over the screen up there earlier. C.J. Stroud's numbers against winning football teams this year were awful, and this is a winning football team. So, look, I think this is all about the Texans. If the good version of C.J. Stroud shows up, I think the Texans can very easily win this game. I have very little confidence that the good version of the Texans offense is going to show up and they're going to be able to do things at a playoff caliber level. So I'm going Chargers, and I'm going 24-13.
24-13. You think 24-13. They keep them down, huh? All right, I've got the Texans 23-16. Clint has the Chargers 24-13. Tyler, bring it home. What's your prediction for this game coming up on Saturday?
Well, funny enough, you hit the nail on the head, man. Double-digit win for the Houston Texans. I had this prediction. I had it mapped out before you ever said that. It ended 20 points, but the Texans are going to win this wild card game against the Chargers 27-17. And this is going to be a landmark game for D'Amico and his defense. If people around the NFL did not know about the Houston Texan defense, they will know after tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get this the bad stench of these primetime games out the way. These primetime games have been a little rough. Detroit, the Jets, the Baltimore game, the Kansas City game. Let's kind of see if that shifts a bit.
Wish you'd brought them primetime games up when I was making my point.
Oh, I can help both points. I could have gone with you. Hey, the Broncos are the only winning team that they've beat. The Chargers. So, appreciate everybody hanging in with us. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy the playoffs and Texas and Ohio State tonight as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Your boy Tyler is really embracing the beanie on the back of the head thing, man. He is embracing it.
T, it's really a good fit for you, man.
It really
does. You're a night owl. You're a night owl. You're a late sleeper. You may be a little bit of a smoker, a little bit of a toker.
Never.
You drink the spirits, man. I mean, the thinner build with the slight sag going on every time you wear britches.
I know what you're doing, Clint. You want to start the show like this on a football Friday? Uh-oh.
First off, you ain't putting me in a box. I can go do whatever the hell I want.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.